Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that is the opening theme for the show that keeps sweeping the country on Hump Day every Wednesday. Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Sidekick, the straw that stirs the drink in Charlotte, North Carolina, Danielle Orsino, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, we realize 30 minutes could go by quick. Archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, where to subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Danielle, the threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And man, oh man, we're only like 4 or 5 days away from this Super Bowl. A lot to talk about today.
Oh, I'm doing great, Mark. I'm so excited that, yes, it's the holy day. It's Super Bowl. Everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. So let's jump into some of the storylines that are going on and some of the stuff that's happened just in the last couple hours, actually. So I don't know if everybody's heard, but there are some things going down right now. So 49ers are not happy with their practice field at all. And they have reason to be unhappy. So they were the first ones to step on the field. They are at ULV, and it isn't going well. The ground is extremely soft. So now here's the rub. Goodell has gone out and walked on it because, you know, the God has to. And he's like, oh, it's fine. Yeah, it's a little soft, but no big deal. We've had 23 experts walking it. Well, then the NFLPA gets on there, and they're like, no, it sucks. They're like, what are you talking about? So they're like, you know, Goodell's like, no, it's playable. Well, then they turn around and they're like, okay, you say it's okay because it's playable. And Treader's like, playable is not the same standard as high quality. It's about as low as you can get is playable. And he's like, our players deserve a little more than playable. Which he's got a very good point. It is the Super Bowl. Like, you should do better than playable. Basically, they were, you know, they had their annual press conference, and they're like, people are like, well, what went wrong? And he was like, well, the experts agree when you're putting a grass sod field over existing turf, you would put a hard, like, plastic cover over the turf, but they think that's not what happened, and that's adding to the softness. And he's like, I don't know how something like this falls through the cracks. We now have an issue leading into the Super Bowl. Then other questions came along, which basically came down to this, the turf grass debate, which I found really funny because I was watching it live on the NFL Network. So the player, you know, the NFL, like, they're talking about it, and I thought it was just so funny because these two guys who represent the NFL Players Association, they're standing up there, and they're like, okay, so 92% of the players want grass. And they're like, that's what we want. We're concerned about safety. And they're like, this is what we want. There's no bones about it. They're like, this is what we want. It's safer. They're going through their whole spiel. And there's no debate that this is what they're asking for. They're like, we want to work with the NFL to get this done. We understand there are economic issues, but this is what we want. Well, then, and I love me some Ian Rappaport, I think, like, out of everybody, he's probably one of the more honest guys. I like him. He gets on, and he's like, so there's this debate, and I think they have to come to a mutual understanding. And he spins this whole thing around, and by the end of it, he was like, so, you know, the players, you know, the NFLPA, like, they understand, but they want, like, you know, these guys all want a hybrid. Like, Goodell wants a hybrid of the two, and they're going to work. And by the end of it, he spun it like, nobody really wants both. And I'm thinking, well, these guys just flat out said, we want grass. Grass is what we want. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. By the time the spin doctoring was done, I was watching it going, what just happened? Like, he just, and I understand he has to because he's representing, you know, the NFL, like the NFL Network, but it was just funny to watch it happen in real time where these guys were like, no, our players want grass. That's what it is. Ian comes on, and he's like, well, most of the players want grass, but, you know, the kickers want turf, and you can understand why the kickers want turf. And I'm like, these guys didn't say a damn thing about kickers. And it was just so funny to watch the spin happen in real time, because you know he's getting, like, the needle on the side to toe the NFL company line. And he was trying to, like, dance. And I felt for him, like, I really felt for him. He was trying. But it was just funny to watch the whole thing go down in real time with these guys stating what they wanted and him being like, so, you know, they're going to try, and these guys are going to come to a mutual understanding, but it's going to take some time. And I'm like, what? But they just said what they, and you got this problem going on, and then it was like, you know, but, the you know, it's not so bad, the practice field's okay. And I'm like, no, they said the practice field sucked. So it's just, it's so funny to watch it happen when you're like, oh, my gosh, just give the guys what they want. And now the 49ers don't even have a great practice field. And we're a couple days away from the Super Bowl. And how did you not fix this for them? So I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny to watch it all happen right then and there. And to know, you know, once again, Goodell is kind of pulling the strings. And we'll get into the press conference because that was hysterical. Yeah.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, and we are really picking up steam here as the show keeps picking up, but I had a friend, and I said to the guy, you're an idiot. He's going to the Super Bowl, $90,000, four tickets, sitting right near where the 49ers are going to be right there. First of all, let's figure this whole scenario out. I've been to one Super Bowl. I paid $20. I ain't paying for it. We'll be next year down at Radio Row and everything in New Orleans. And, you know, the thing is to get in there. We get in there, but the environment and everything. These guys got to be idiots, Danielle. I mean,
there's no way I pay that.
To pay these kind of prices, and first of all, who's walking around with $90,000? I mean, you know, and that, the thing I look at, you know, he's pretty well off, so, you know, it's probably a drop in the bucket, but still, the average guy can't afford, unless he's, you know, living at home, and he ain't paying rent or anything, and mom and dad are, you know, paying for everything. If he crashes his car five times a year, he gets a new one. But I'm trying to figure this scenario out. $90,000, and not only that, the 49ers are going to stand right in front of you, so how the hell do you see the field? You're going to be watching these guys' as asses or their color of their uniform. I mean, you're going to be watching grass stains. Can you imagine? I mean, and now we're going to get some comments here, and we'll get to these comments here momentarily. But you're paying that kind of money? No, that's not – here's the funny thing about the whole thing is – not counting something to drink, not counting something to eat, not counting the souvenir, not counting the park. I mean, it is just, it's ludicrous.
I can't even imagine all that stuff.
Yeah.
Can't even imagine.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Not in a million.
These guys are idiots.
No.
And I don't condone anybody for making money. I don't condone anybody for trying out for football and making it. But you're asking me to pay that kind of money to sit 20-something thousand a ticket? You're crazy, man. I can care less if it's my team. You know?
I couldn't even believe when Christian McCaffrey's mother was like, we can't afford it. To hear her say, no, we can't afford a box. I mean, it was great when the fiance was like, guess what, Mom? I bought it for you. Yeah, okay, that was like nice. But, like, to hear her originally say, we're not sitting in a box. Like, we can't afford a suite. We can't afford a box. I'm not paying $1.5 million. She's like, that's ridiculous. I was like, good for you, lady. Like, that's the right answer. She was like, but I'm thinking, for a second, I was like, the family? You guys have, like, I thought that at least, like, the 49ers were like, hey, we get a box. You guys can, you know, we get a couple boxes. You guys bring your family, something. Like, everybody gets, I don't know, two family members to sit in the box. Like, the moms at least get to go in. But I was like, you guys make the moms, like, buy a box? I thought, like, at least the mothers got to go or something. There was some perk. And I'm like, really making them $100 too? Like, I was like, damn, Goodell.
Let me tell you something. I'm not cheap by any means. You know, I'll spend, but at the same time, I'm no fool with, you know, that written across my forehead either. If I can walk into a Goodwill and get a good deal, you better be damn well that I'm going to buy it in the Goodwill more so than going in your mall and paying your, you know, gasoline tax and everything else in that place to turn on your lights. It, you know, it's kind of like going to a fancy restaurant. Hey, I don't mind spending the money. I don't want to get food for a bird if I'm hungry. You know, and then I got to get three entrees that are about $30 a piece just so then I can walk out and I'm kind of full. You know, not that I'm, you know, keep myself in shape. You keep yourself in shape. We're not going to spend money like that. It's stupid, and people are actually dumb to kind of pay for that.
You know what? If you've got it, you want to do it. I get it. I think what it is for me, just the way I'm watching the NFL develop right now, and this is not on the players. Let me be clear. This is nothing to do with the players themselves. Nothing at all. I think it's coming down more to management, and I'm speaking to Goodell and the owners, no one else. You know, it's just as I'm seeing these players say, we want grass. We need medical. We need this.
Yeah.
We need that. And them not getting it, and then they're telling me, you know, oh, we're going to put this game on streaming, and we got paid $110 million to put one game. And now the ticket prices are this, and now it's that. And I'm going, why am I giving you more money? This isn't making sense. Or if you're out of market, you can't watch your team without buying, you know, paying $399 for this package. It's just like, I don't want to give you any more money, and what experience am I getting? I could sit at home and watch the Super Bowl and have a great time. And I think maybe because I've never been to one, I'm missing out on something, and maybe somebody who's been there can be like, oh, guys, you're missing out. It's the most amazing thing. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know, but I think the magic is kind of gone because, to me, it's become such a corporate event that only people who can really afford it, I don't know if they're truly fans going. And a lot of times these things are sold out before you ever know the team, that it's not like you're getting so many 49ers or KC fans that are really rooting for this team. I just feel like it's become too much of just a party because, hey, I can afford to go, rather than football fans there. And now, you know, maybe that's just me and maybe I'm being a grump, but kind of that's how I feel about it right now. And like I said, everybody knows who's listened to the show, I can't stand Goodell. And I'll be the first one to trumpet, you know, when he's gone, and I think he should be gone.
Right.
I just feel like I know it's a business, but at the end of the day, yes, it's entertainment, but if there weren't fans, this would not be profitable. So at what point do the fans come first? I mean, we don't even come second, third, fourth, or fifth now. You know, it's all sponsorship, it's corporations, it's everything else. We are so far down. When is it for entertainment for us? I don't feel like it really is anymore. But take the officiating. He was asked about the officiating. He's like, our guys are doing a great job. Yeah, maybe we could do a little better. Maybe you could do a little better. Have you seen the technology that's out there? Think about it like this. You're still measuring first downs, which will make or break a game, by two guys and a chain. That's how you're measuring your first downs, dude. There's lasers. There's a bunch of other things out there nowadays. And you still got two guys who are freezing their butts off sometimes and some chain. That's it. We have not improved that at all. Really? Like, really? You can't even, let's just think of this for a second, measure it with, like, a real tape measure on the chain. Like, we don't even get to see how many inches it's off by anymore. Think about it. Like, we have not evolved at all. Nothing. We can't
take
sensors on the ball.
You know, and you bring up some great points. Want to touch on with, you know, the show yesterday, Kip Gross and I did one, and this guy's commenting on it. Dalen from Chums from Mass, regular listener to our show, loves our show. He's got a couple comments. One of them is, hey, Mark, take it easy on Miley Cyrus. I wouldn't throw her out of my bedroom. And this goes back to the Grammys the other night. I watched the Grammys.
Okay.
I'm not a big Miley Cyrus.
Miley, I missed that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a big Miley, Danielle, and you know me. If I like him, I like him. If I don't, I got to do without. Okay, I'll give her the great body and everything. It just, you know, there's just something about her that doesn't, you know, and she reminds me of a renegade type. I don't know. Then she forgot her underwear on. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just too much, you know, to a certain extent. But, hey, Dalen, for whatever it's worth, you can, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer, you know, Eva Mendes, you know, I can go down the list of ones that I'd match up with the ones that I don't like. So everybody's got their own preference, you know. I don't know how the sexiest men alive are the Kelce guys. I mean, I've talked about that before. Those two guys look like something out of Duck Dynasty. I mean, unbelievable. Yeah, yeah. To each his own, I guess. But, he also brings up Bienemy out of work, made a visit to the Chiefs.
I'm shocked with that.
I didn't hear that. Yeah, thanks for bringing it up, Dalen, and now I guess Danielle's seen it.
Yeah, Quinn is hired. I'll be honest. I don't think that was a smart move for the Commanders. I really don't. Reason is you've gotten rid of all your defensive weapons. Montez Sweat is gone. Chase Young is gone. You have to build that defense right now. But more importantly, you have to build your offense. Why would you bring in a defensive mind when you had a great offensive mind right there? Why wouldn't you have promoted Bienemy? I think going with Dan Quinn, I have nothing against him. This is not a Cowboys thing. I think he's really good. I think he would have been a better fit in another place that had more of a defense to build on and to mold.
Right.
Right now, you have no weapons. Why would you have picked him? I think there would have been a better fit for the Commanders because you're going to draft a great quarterback. You've got the pick. You know it. You need one. Why go with a defensive guy? Why not go with somebody who's known? Cliff Kingsbury, that everybody's like, oh, my God, this is such a great idea. Tell me a quarterback that he's truly developed and flourished in the NFL. Not one he's associated with, because all he is associated with people. You can't tell me he developed Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray had two great seasons, and then he flattened out. He's plateaued. Kingsbury had nothing to do with that. He was associated with Patrick Mahomes. He's been associated with a lot of people. He has not developed these quarterbacks and brought them into the NFL and watched them take that giant step. He had nothing to do with Mahomes. He had nothing really to do with Murray. What has he done except know these guys or be around these guys? He's an entourage guy. He's not a quarterback guy. So I don't think this is as great of an idea as everybody's thinking it is for the Commanders. I would have brought in a more offensive-minded guy and not Quinn. I think Quinn could have been used somewhere else.
Oh, I totally agree. But here's the thing. They bring in the offensive guy. They bring in Kingsbury. But there's going to be something out there with Eric Bieniemy, why he's not getting looked at as a head coaching position. There's something in the past that's keeping this guy from getting something. And I can't quite figure it out. Because he's done wonders, and I really thought the system was going to, you know, go backwards in Kansas City when he left out of there, but, you know, they get back to the Super Bowl without him, so something has transpired there. I think the key there is Spagnuolo. Spagnuolo's going to be the key there in Kansas City. He wasn't worth a damn as a head coach, but a defensive wizard back there, you know, we're doing – yeah.
From the Giants. I think I don't think he was ready for the head coach position. And I think you've got to remember that was smart for Reed because Reed had gone against him for so long with the Eagles.
Well, and you know what? And I'm going to catch flack on this, Danielle, but I'm going to lay it out there. I'm not an Andy Reed guy. I never was an Andy Reed guy. I mean, I really wasn't. I don't think he did anything in Philadelphia. He kind of reminds me of Phil Jackson. He comes into a situation where everything's kind of laid out for him, you know, and that's why these guys are all sticking together. I think the key there is Mahomes, and, you know, Kelce's stealing money. He's like Andy Reid. I mean, they're stealing money, if you ask me. If people tell me, I don't know what I'm talking about. Andy Reid's no Chuck Knoll, okay, and I don't have Andy Reid in my top 25 of coaches. I'm sorry. I don't care how many Super Bowls you've won. You're not in my top 25 of head coaches, you know, when you look at head coaches. So, I mean, I would go back to O.A. Bum Phillips. Yeah, he didn't win nothing, but he had the Oilers there every year trying to knock on the door of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, George Allen with the Redskins. I mean, you can keep going on and on. Bill Parcells. I mean, but Andy Reid to me has always been a guy that kind of, you know, he comes into the store when, you know, everybody paid the freight and, okay, well, now I can be the manager of it. Well, everything was set up for you. So I'm not I've never been a big Andy Reid guy. I'm just, you know, and that's it. I'm sure people are going to come out on me and, you know, tell me this and that, but sorry.
Well, you know what? When you're driving a vet, it's easy to maintain. You know, he's got Mahomes.
Right.
He's got the pieces in place, but he's also done a very good job with getting the pieces necessary when they've needed it. He's been good with Spags. I think he knew how to put the pieces around him to elevate everyone else. And that's part of being a good coach. It might not be that he's got the greatest strategic mind, but part of being a good coach is knowing where the weaknesses are, filling them, knowing how to cover them. So, you know, some people can say that about Pete Carroll and what he did, you know, what he did with Russell Wilson and knowing where, you know, where to hide Wilson, where to hide the weakness and who to bring in, Marshawn Lynch, you know, all that stuff. So you can kind of go either way with it. In regards to Mahomes is Mahomes. Look, that's a generational talent. What can you say? He comes in, anybody was going to – it's hard to mess that one up, to be honest. That's really hard to mess that up. I'm sure somebody could have. There's some coaches out there that could have, but you got what you got. He also worked on his chemistry. Any tight end that was coming in, unless you really drop, and let's face it, Kelce's had some drops, you were going to work that chemistry because Mahomes wasn't going to let you not work that. He's too much of a workhorse. The problem with Mahomes, and I'm going to say it right now, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, and I'm sorry, bring it. His family's what's going to bring him down. The people he surrounds him with, that's going to be his downfall. Mahomes is a phenomenal player. I'm not saying he's not. I think he's great with his charities. Who he surrounds himself with, that is going to be his downfall on his sponsors and everything else. Because if you look at it, Dad was just arrested for a DWI on Sunday. You got all the problems with his wife, who doesn't know when to shut the heck up. She's been caught numerous times on camera being rude to everybody who works around them, in front of him. She's been caught on TMZ, and then what does she do? She goes on social media, posts a picture of her draped in every label going, good, keep me in your mouth, keep talking. People have come out when she's been in hotels saying she doesn't tip, she's rude to the staff when he's not around. She's coming off as just, you know, she's hooked her guy, so who cares? And then you got the brother who still has sexual assault battery charges from the restaurant, and that restaurant, I don't even know if it stayed open now with everything because they're getting graffitied and everything else because of the charges against the brother. The brother's still running around acting like an idiot. Who you surround yourself with, I'll tell you who you are by those people. That's what's going to be Mahomes' downfall. It doesn't matter how great you are. You could wind up being the GOAT and passing Brady. Who are you around? You know, everybody made – look, I wasn't a big Brady fan, but you never heard of Brady and anybody who was around him getting in trouble. Brady stayed out of everything. Whether he was rocking Giselle or whatever he was doing, you didn't hear crap. He stayed out of it. That's part of it. Same thing with Eli. Same thing with a lot of these quarterbacks who were like, you don't hear anything coming out of them. Mahomes has got to learn that lesson. He's got to learn it quick.
Yeah. No, you bring up some interesting points. And, you know, when you look at it, you know, that's the thing. And he doesn't mind being the villain either. I'm seeing that now.
And that's
as long as they keep winning, he doesn't care about being the villain. I don't know. I mean, Kansas City compared to New England. I mean, Boston, everybody hates Boston. You know, when the Lakers and the Celtics were going at it, hard to get, you know, pissed off about, you know, America's heartland with the barbecue city. I don't know. I mean, maybe if he played for, you know, Pittsburgh or Dallas or one of those teams, I don't know. It's kind of hard to figure it out, wouldn't you say?
It's hard when Paul Rudd loves you.
Yeah.
You can't dislike a team that Ant-Man loves. It's, Paul Rudd's too lovable. You can't hate them. I don't know. he's too nice of a guy. I can't get mad.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, when you look at it. So that's the thing. Hey, gosh, I mean, we got 5 minutes left in the show. With this Super Bowl going on, is there anything that strikes you? I mean, the commercials are the great thing. We both have teams that aren't in it, so it's going to be like, do we really care who wins? I don't want to see San Francisco tie out Pittsburgh and New England. At the same time, I just flat out hate Kansas City.
You know, it's weird because looking at it, do I have a dog in the race? No, not really. But I think more pressure's on the 49ers and Shanahan to kind of finally get something. And I think at the end of the day, look, Brock Purdy, I have no qualms with him about whether he's a game manager or not. I think he's got some talent. Personally, I think he needs to sit on the shelf just a little bit longer and mature, because when I look at him, you're so cute. Can you even vote yet? He's a little too young for me, and I don't mean that in, like, the age way. I just mean maturity. Like, can you really handle the pressure of this? You've got your coach's legacy on the line. Your team has gone in the last couple times and lost. There's so much behind him. I'm not sure this kid can really handle this. I'm afraid he's going to break under the pressure. And Mahomes is going in like, yeah, I've been here a couple times. I got a couple rings. I've lost one. Like, he's been there, done that, got the T-shirt. I think for him, this is just a walk in the park. Purdy, I just feel like, yeah, you're cute, honey. Just sit down and, you know, take the practice swing. Just practice swing this one, kiddo. I don't know if he can handle it. And from a leadership standpoint, it's a lot to put on this kid. And your quarterback really should be the leader in this and taking you out onto the field like that battle cry. I don't know. Maybe if we were going out on the playground. I don't know, the Super Bowl. Like, would you really follow this kid into battle? I'm not sure. And that's got nothing to say about his talent. I'm just not sure he's ready for this just yet. I think the Kansas City Chiefs has got this one. I think it's going to be a 27-19 kind of thing, you know. I think the 49ers will hang in there, but then Mahomes is going to turn it up.
Wow. So you got that one. I mean, I think San Francisco is going to figure out a way to maybe pull this one out. Shanahan will finally get it because he's been...
I would love it. I would love that.
Yeah. He's been having problems trying to, you know, if you go back to the Atlanta-New England game that year where they blew it, he was right in the middle of it too. So I don't know.
Look, I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I think Spags is just going to start blitzing this kid. And I think we're going to – I don't know. I don't know if he can stay as calm and cool as collected as I'd like him to be. He's got poise,
right.
But under these lights with this much pressure, when you think about it, this has only been his first full season. Technically, Purdy's still in his rookie year, like playing a full season. Coming off that injury, that's a lot of pressure on this little kid. I don't know. I mean, good luck to you, boy. Good luck. But –
Right.
That
spotlight on
you? That's crazy.
Yeah. Hey, as we wrap this thing up, we're down to less than a minute and a half. Let everybody know what you got coming. I know you got the top of the hour, you and Chelsea doing that crossover, the Chapter 14. Next week, I know we'll be on early on Valentine's. We'll be doing 8 in the morning Charlotte time, 5 in the morning on the West Coast. But you've got the floor here. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you as well.
You can get a hold of me on Instagram at Bert's Buffet. And, yes, at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I will be with my partner in crime, Chelsea Rice, on A Novel Beginning. And we'll be talking about when we attempted to tell the publisher about a crossover idea we had and how well or not well that was received and all the usual dirt we have on the publishing scene. So stay tuned.
Okay. As we wrap this up, for Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, both kind of trying to pick here. And I got San Francisco winning this thing, so it should be interesting. I'm not paying big money to go see that in Vegas. Next year, New Orleans, and I can't wait with Danielle. Till then, have a blessed one. Make sure you make your time selection for next Wednesday on Valentine's, 8 o'clock in the morning, Charlotte time. 5 o'clock morning drive in Los Angeles. Till then, have a blessed one. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/ManciniSports. Thanks for tuning in.